As Patricia sang, a verse came to me. In Romans 5:7, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, we were on his mind. Thank you, Patricia. All right, I want to share something with you this morning. I'll ask you a question first. I know that a lot of you served in the service. I know some of us didn't. How many of you can remember back to the days when there was a draft? Do you remember what 4F meant? Meant you wasn't going. 4F meant that simply for some reason you were unfit to serve. Could have been physical. Could have been some problems in your past. But someone made the decision that you were unfit to serve. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in Luke's gospel, Luke 9. We'll begin reading in verse 57 and read through the end of that chapter. And what I want you to think about as we read is what it takes to be fit for service. What it takes to be fit for service. And we'll look at that passage in Luke 9. Luke 9, beginning in verse 57. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Pray with me for a moment. Father, I pray that the very power of your Holy Spirit would fill this place and minister your word in each heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you just an example of kind of what we're talking about here, and you think about it as I go through the little story. I read this story, and the first time I read it, I couldn't believe it. And then I realized it was a fictional thing. But don't think about it that way. Think about it happening in our church. After a rousing message one morning, three people come in the invitation. And they say, we want to serve the Lord here in this church. And one wants to work in the nursery. Thank you, Lord. And one wants to work with the young teenagers. And one wants to come and clean up after all the fellowships. And those are pretty good things. The nominating committee chairman gets excited and her hand is shaking as she's writing down those names. And you can be assured at the next business meeting, she plans to bring them before the church. Church is excited. And then the pastor pours cold water all over all of it. And he says to them, I'm sorry, but you're not fit to serve. And everybody says, are you crazy, preacher? Jesus had three men come to him that day on the road. And Jesus finally had to tell them that they were not fit to serve. That's what Jesus did in our text. And so I want us to take a minute and look at the issues here as Jesus saw them. Look at the issues as Jesus saw them. And we're going to first think about the nature of the call. First of all, it's a common call. It's the same call that was given to the 12 disciples, the same call that touched the lives of the 70 as they went out to serve the Lord. And it's the same call people feel today and sense today, the call that says simply, follow me. That's a common call. We live in a day, and the young adults in our church did a study in the book entitled, Not a Fan. We live in a day when there are a lot of fans of Jesus, but there are very few followers. And sometimes it hurts our feelings when the scripture is outlined and you say, wow, if I listen to that, I'm a fan and not a follower. But I think it's important to know and to understand that everyone receives the same call. It's not multiple choice. Well, Lord, now, you know, I'd be willing to do this, but no, I can't do that. I can't do that, Lord. Now, I like this. My gift is doing this. I give an example. Had a girl one time, had an absolutely gorgeous voice. And she wanted to sing specials all the time. And our minister of music at that time had her on many occasions sing specials, but she wouldn't sing in the choir. And finally, one day, God laid it on my heart, and he said, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this to take place in the church? And I took her aside, and I said, why won't you sing in the choir? Oh, I just don't like to do that. I said, well, I'll tell you what, we can't use you for specials anymore. Boy, you talk about a riot in the church and a mama and a daddy that wanted to hang the preacher out to dry. But I'm going to tell you exactly what I told him. I said, when all she wants to do is stand before the people and sing specials and won't honor God by singing in the choir, all she's doing is showing off herself, and we're not going to have it. You see, she was unfit for service. No, it's not multiple choice. It's not pick and choose. It's not pick and choose. Well, you know, a lot of people are cafeteria Christians. They go down through the line and they pick what they like and they don't pick the rest. You ever take a child to a cafeteria? They are so funny. We took our oldest grandson. This was years ago. We took him to Golden Corral. He'd never been before. And this was back when we lived in Ohio. And so anyway, we went through the line at Golden Corral, and he said, Grandpa, are these things good? And they were little fried shrimp pieces. I think they called them popcorn shrimp. I said, well, yeah, if you like shrimp, those are good. I thought he was going to kill himself. And finally, after about the third dish, I said, Caleb, are you not going to eat anything else? Man, he found something he liked, and that's all he was going to eat. You know, a lot of Christians are that way. They have one kind of music that they like. And if you don't do that kind of music all the time, why, they get their nose out of joint. And you know, we need to understand that it's not pick and choose. The Lord picks it, and we do it. You see, it's fundamental to understand, follow me. Jesus said, and the Bible teaches, that we're to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our might, not three of the above. Secondly, as you think about the call, we see that it's a volitional call. It's a call, not a command. It's a calling, it's not a command. It's an invitation. And that invitation demands a free will response. A free will response. Now, sometimes we think that if we don't respond, dodge that bullet. But the truth is, when we don't respond positively, then in not responding positively, we have responded negatively. Failure to follow is to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And it says he ran up to Jesus. And he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus began to name off the commandments concerning God. He said, "Oh, I've done that all of my life." Jesus said, "Take all that you own, sell it, and give to the poor." And it says that he bowed his head and turned around and walked away because he had much possessions. And in turning away from Jesus, he rejected him. It's also, though, a general call, if you will. A general call. Sometimes it's not specific, maybe I should have said. Not specific. I can remember when God called me, I had no idea what he wanted me to do. No idea. But I knew this, if I was going to have any peace in my heart, I had to just surrender and say, "Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you put me. Doesn't make any difference." And that's what I did. And I went to my pastor and I thought, boy, he's going to think I'm crazy. And I told him I felt that God had laid a call upon my heart. And he said, "Do you understand what he's called you to?" And I said, "No." He said, "That's fine." He said, "You just follow him and do what you should do, and you'll learn as you go what that calling is." And so I did. I served everywhere I could in that church. He said, "In the meantime, you have to prepare yourself to serve God." He said, "You need to go back to college and you need to finish your degree. And then you need to go to seminary." Now, I didn't even know what I was supposed to do, but he told me how I should do it. And so that's how it went for a long time. Can you remember when you first were thinking about college and they said you had to take core curriculum? Well, now, you know, I'm going to be a brain surgeon. I could care less about history, but you got to take it. Well, I'm going to be a veterinarian, and I could care less about math. Well, you're going to take it. And there is a set core curriculum that you must take to prepare yourself. And you say, "Well, what does that have to do with what I feel called to?" You know what I decided? going back to college with a wife and three children, and then going on to seminary, I think that what I said to God in doing that is, God, I'll pay the price to do whatever you want me to do. One day, Dr. Tootin called me and he said, Bob, I want you to preach in the evening service this coming Sunday. I never preached. I didn't know about preaching. And I worked hard on this sermon. Oh, man. It was a good one. And I kept thinking, boy, this is going to be way too long. And I stood up there, and as we started to walk in, Dr. Tootin, I thought, was out of town. He wasn't. He was sitting in the very last row watching me. And as we started to walk in, the chairman of the deacons patted me on the shoulder. He said, Bob, do good. We're on the radio. And all of a sudden, I'm wearing this mic, wireless mic with a battery pack on my side, and I knew that just as soon as I sweated enough, I would be electrocuted. And it came time for me. And when I stood up in that pulpit, the knees didn't shake anymore. And what came out of my mouth was not me. And you know, your wife will always keep you humble. My wife told me after that message. She said, that wasn't you in that pulpit. And I said, I pray that it never is. The call is simply follow me. And where? Wherever. How? However. What? Whatever. Follow me. To follow is fundamental in finding your niche of service. Following is a learned activity. We learn how to follow. Did you know that? Watch it sometimes in children. Play with children. Play a little game that says Simon Says. Play that game with children. And you will see them learn to obey the commands, to follow. They will learn how to do that. And so following is a learned activity. And the where turns into wherever, the what, whatever. I think of the old hymn, and I can't remember all the words, but it says, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And so, as you learn to follow, what you're doing is learning to lean. The call is not some common, or rather, the call is met by some common challenges. Every person that's called is faced with at least these three and maybe more. First of all, there's security. The first man that spoke to Jesus, do you remember? He said, I will follow you wherever you go. And I think Jesus, in his mind, probably had a little smile, and he said, oh, really? He said, I want you to understand. And when he talks about the foxes and the holes and the birds in the nest, what he's telling him is, what about the first night when you don't have any place to stay, friend? What are you going to do then? You're going to go home and get in bed with your wife where it's warm? What are you going to do in that first day? You see, security. You must forsake all to follow Jesus. You must forsake the love of possessions. I didn't say you can't own anything. Jesus never said that. He just said, don't let it on you. But you must, to follow, you must put aside the security. If your security is what you, in what you own, I think you remember the man that came and his fields produced so much that he was so excited he went out and built new barns to hold it all. And that night, God spoke to him and said, thou fool, tonight thy life is required of thee. Security and possessions. Some people have position of security. They feel secure in their positions. My son's in the oil business, and two Fridays ago, 17,000 oil workers were laid off, and 25% of the rigs in our country were shut down. A lot of people have thought they had job security, security in their position. A lot of people think that they have security in their popularity and in their power. The truth of the matter is that you must give up all of that. You must give up all of that. Paul, as he spoke in Philippians, said it this way in Philippians chapter 3. He said, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. There's urgency as Jesus spoke to these men. The second one said he needed to bury his father. Now, most commentators on Scripture say that in that day, what that meant was that you were not free as a son of your obligation in the home until you'd buried your father. Now, that doesn't mean that this guy's dad was dead. He could have been. But what it means was that he needed to stay home until he died and then put things in order. And Jesus said, did you not understand? I called you now and said, follow me now. You know, I think about what John said in John chapter 9 and verse 4. He said, work, for the night is coming. Work, for the night is coming. You realize that you may never have another chance. There's an urgency. Satan will help you put off starting, and then he'll never have to worry about you following. He'll help you put off starting, and you'll never have to worry about following. He'll never have to worry. You will never follow later if you don't respond to his call today. The last thing is just to think of being tenacious, tenacity, holding on. I never forget the first snapping turtle that I was ever around. I learned something about them. We were playing with this snapping turtle. The first thing I learned is that turtle was about this big and his neck was about that long. And the second thing I learned when I was poking at him is that when he bit that stick, he didn't let go. He didn't let go. And you know, we need to be like that turtle when we accept the call of Jesus. When we say, yes, I'll follow you, Jesus. I thought about that, and I thought about some of the things in the Bible. You remember how God miraculously parted the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could cross over? And then what happened? The sea closed again on the Egyptians. But more than that, I think it closed so that they couldn't go back. How many times in the wilderness did they wish they were back in Egypt? And if the Lord hadn't closed the sea, they probably would have went back. I thought about Joshua as the leader of the people. And the word to Joshua was simply this: don't depart to the right or to the left. Straight ahead, Joshua, is the way we go. This third fella, he said, first, permit me to say goodbye. And Jesus said, you already said you'd follow me. Now you want to go do something else. And what, when you come back, I'm supposed to be thrilled? That's not how it works. You see, when a person accepts the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, he must never look back. He must never give up. He must never give in. He must take up his cross. Verse 23 in this same chapter tells us that. Take up the cross. Forsake everything else. Forsake life for my sake. Paul said, fight the good fight. You must finish your course. Jesus said, hold the plow in a straight line, and you can't do it looking back to the good old days. Tell you a story and I'm done. Julius Caesar, in the first section, or first century AD, went to Britain, and he took his legions to conquer Britain. And after they had come ashore, he assembled all the troops, all the legions, and he marched them up on the white cliffs of Dover where they could look out over the sea. And you know what they saw? Every ship that they had come on was on fire. Caesar burned them all. Caesar burned every single ship. They couldn't go back. And the point is simply this: accept the call of Christ on your life. Resign yourself to follow him whatever, wherever. You need to have your security in him. If the Lord's church will simply do that, there's no way that the gates of hell can prevail in the battle for those that are lost. Are you fit to serve? Let's pray. God, forgive us when we take our service to you lightly. God, forgive us when we think that you accept part-time servants. God, forgive us when we make a commitment to serve on our terms and not yours. God, forgive us for anything less than total surrender. Total surrender of everything. Father, I pray that in this place you'd raise up a mighty church. Lord, a church where the people never question your leadership, your direction, the ministry that you call us to. Father, I pray that you touch the hearts of people this morning. And there might be some that might come and say, God, forgive me, I thought I was following you. and found out it was on my terms. Father, work your will in each life. Do what the preacher can't do. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to stand quietly and prayerfully. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It's a special time when God speaks to his people. And I pray this morning that you've heard his voice. I pray that he's spoken to each person here individually. I hope that you've heard him loud and clear say, "Come, follow me." If you've never taken the first step, that first step is simply to trust him. Trust him to remove your sin and to cleanse you. Trust him to give you everlasting life. Trust him for every day, the rest of your life into eternity. You may have done that some point in time, and you might have looked back. If he's spoken to your heart, it's time for you to come and say, "God, forgive me. Give me strength, Lord, to continue on." It may be that God has spoken to you and he's laid it on your heart to come and be a part of this fellowship. Whatever God has spoken to you this morning, I pray that you'll do. I pray that you'll respond to him in a positive way. God help us. Praise team's going to sing the hymn of invitation. Just step out on the very first note and come to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Come to Jesus. Don, lead us.